And welcome back to another episode of the Black Watch Report. I'm your host, Thorn Rain, and with me, as always, my co-host, Mr. Kyle Wynn. How you doing this evening?
Pretty good. Very, very busy day. I literally got here right after work, and I'm leaving right after to go to another meeting, so it's gonna be a busy one.
Oh, I completely understand that. I had time off to go to the finals, but that was 2 full 8-hour days of driving, a day of like doing media stuff and walking around downtown Philly, and then the games, and then went right into a full 7-day work week. So, it's not looking like I'm getting a day off until November 1st. So,
Jesus.
Yeah. Your boy's tired. He's constantly on sleep mode. But we're here tonight because in literally just 4 hours from us recording, the gauntlet is going to be starting. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. But before we do that, anything interesting on our 2-week hiatus?
What did I do? I was on Video Game Bang podcast again with Corey from NRG and SF Shock. Chatted with some other Overwatch fans about the finals, the playoffs, San Francisco Shock, other teams, the next season, all that stuff. So that was super duper fun. I got a new chair, as you can see. It's worth about $1,300. I had to look it up, and I got it for $8. And it's not even $8 I paid. It's just an $8 donation to the SPCA because the place I work was, they've switched out chairs or something. I don't know. There's ridiculous things, man. They're like, oh yeah, we don't need these anymore. So you're just like, I don't know, how much is it? $10? Like, do you not know how? Okay, whatever. No, it's fine. So I'm living lavishly right now. This is like, I'm pretty sure authentic leather or feels like it. And it's like, it's got all sorts of bits and bobs, and it's like the most comfy chair I've ever had in my life. Other than that, what have I been doing? I have not played much video games, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I did a game jam called Ludum Dare this last weekend where I got to make a game in like a weekend, which was cool. Helped some friends out, made some sound effects and music and all that stuff. Yeah, it's been busy, but you know, Gauntlet's coming up. We have stuff to talk about and I'm excited. What about you? I guess you already kind of chatted about what you've been doing.
Mentioned I went to the grand finals. Interesting story. I got into Philadelphia Friday night, dropped my son off at the Airbnb that I was staying at with Deathblow and Blevins from High Noon podcast at about 11:30, I think, is when I took the bags out of the car and walked him into the house. And then I went and tried to find a parking spot. And I didn't get back to the Airbnb until after 1 a.m. because what? South Philly parking on a Friday night is the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. Literally, people parking God. On the sidewalks, parking in front of crosswalks. I parked 10 blocks away, and we weren't in the most upscale neighborhood.
I saw your panorama.
So at 1 a.m, I'm walking through South Philly trying to find my way back to the Airbnb. It was fun and interesting. The city's crazy. Food's delicious. The matches were awesome. Painted my face. Well, I painted my whole head orange. I look like a giant pumpkin. What else? Got to talk to Barry Idolwise, the agent for, you know, the most of the Korean Overwatch League players. Got to meet him. That was super cool. My son was in a promo video. We know it hasn't aired yet with Aspen and Blevins for wearing official Overwatch League jerseys, because the guy that was filming it was one of the creators of the jerseys, so they were doing all kinds of cool stuff. Met the social media guy for the Atlanta Reign. He gave me some photography and video tips and suggested a new phone, which I ended up getting a new phone over the weekend, and I went with one of his suggestions. So and then we had our big meetup, and we're sitting there, and we're like 3 hours into the meetup, a bunch of drinks in, having a good time, and I look up, and Dogman's hopping out of an Uber, walking up to the bar, and when I walked over to greet him, he looks at me and goes, happy birthday. So I got a happy birthday from Dogman at our meetup. Cute. Like, it was super cool. Wolf was there from, you know, one of the casters.
That's awesome.
Got to meet a ton of people. Kyle, when you have home games.
I know.
You have to go.
I know. Like,
it was one of the most insane things that I've ever experienced. And my son had a blast. Just all around great time. I got to thank the High Noon guys for, you know, getting me the awesome tickets that they got me, and just spending the week in Philly. But other than that, like, no games, literally. Like I said, I've been working, just a ton of working, and trying to figure out my new Note 10, like, because Ooh. That thing is super cool, and I can't wait to start filming some videos and stuff with it.
Cool.
But I think it's now time to start getting into the meat and potatoes of this here show. Our news brought to you by our Patreons. You can head over to patreon.com/blackwatchreport, become a Patreon, and at the $2 level, the writer level, you can actually sponsor our news. This week's news is going to be sponsored by none other than Mr. Shrugoff in the chat. Thank you so much, Shrug. Let's get down into this news here.
So, starting off with the scene news, we had the Denver LAN this past weekend. Our boy Shrugoff was there playing with the good friend of Boop and Ham Tornado, Jolf, on a team called none other than Blackwatch Report. Always appreciate the help with that branding there. Always nice. It was casted by our friends Boop and Ham Tornado as well. Other teams were there, such as Tea Party and Bermuda. Bermuda was the team who brought it home. And then Tea Party took home second place. The Blackwatch Report team got top 8, which is pretty cool. But it considering especially that was a thrown together team of kind of misfits and Shrug playing on a controller with a Contenders Pro. So, you know, it's interesting to see. But it was cool to see kind of a nice little tournament, some extra money for some hardworking teams. We talked about there's this big issue of, like, what are these teams who aren't in Gauntlet doing besides just waiting and for other players to get picked up off of Academy teams so that they can take those Academy spots.
Yep.
Because it's brutal. But now we're seeing a little bit of stuff happening. I mean, Bermuda flew their players out there, Tea Party, same thing. It's good to see some lands. We get some players with land experience now. All in all, just a super awesome thing to see.
I thought I read somewhere about a possible rumor of a $15,000 tournament in LA coming up in December. I forget where I saw that, but hopefully that is true. Because, I mean, now we just need one on the East Coast that I can go to.
If it isn't true, we can say it enough, and they're like, have you heard about this? Is someone working on this? Oh, crap, everyone's expecting this. Let's go ahead and make it anyway. So just know if you spread a lie, yes, keep spreading the lie, and eventually it becomes the truth. So
welcome to America.
Roster moves. We have, I honestly don't know who this other player is. Obviously, I know Salt Shaker, but I don't know who Bernadette is.
I had no clue who they were.
Analyst. Okay, I don't know. I'm not as familiar with the coaching staffs of these particular non-academy teams. But Phase 2 have announced the departure of Bernadette, their analyst, and tank player Salt Shaker. Bernadette said college and work were the reasons for her leaving. Nishik is leaving as well, so a lot is happening for this Phase 2 roster, but such is the way of non-academy teams in tier 2 / tier 3. Like, it is a volatile world.
Definitely. Our next bit here is we're going to go back and talk about the now most recently played for Blackwatch Report. I'm going to run with that. Like,
yeah, Blackwatch.
if Jolf gets picked up, I'm going to say, you know, formerly from Blackwatch Report. Right. But Jolf announced that he is no longer with Square One, stating started strong but ended sour. Gonna miss Big All and Angelic since he's been with them for like 2 years. So that's gonna hurt. But he's expecting to join another team. I do kind of expect him to land somewhere. We're gonna have some roster moves coming into this next one once we get an official open division. And we know who's going into trials and how the rosters are shaken up the longer free agency goes on. I see Jolf landing somewhere pretty nice.
You know what I'm expecting? I'm full on expecting Jolf to make another team and keep that name going. I want to see Jolf carry the torch of Blackwatch Report and make a team named Blackwatch Report.
The official like, sponsored Blackwatch Report team.
Dude, I would, if I don't know how we can send him stuff, but I will support that so hard, dude.
If
that would be hilarious. Just free marketing for the podcast, the, you know, officially sanctioned team of the Blackwatch Report.
If I wasn't working as much as I was working, I would try to put it together and just have Jolf be team captain. And then we got to figure out how to get Shrug a PC so he can be the next Tensa and play on controller on a PC.
Mm-hmm. Where's that GoFundMe, huh? Let's get that going.
Yeah, let's get that
just
rolling.
Just like $900 for an entry-level PC. Let's do it. Last little bit of news here. Ilka, the coach, I believe, of Angry Titans, who we announced last episode, left. He is now bolstering the Boston Uprising main roster, along with head coach Mineral as a assistant coach, is Ilka. So congratulations on the call-up. Always good to see some call-ups. I'm never going to say no. Even if it's Boston, you know? Maybe we finally see I just want Blase to do well. I don't care what happens. I just want Blase to do well. He seems like such a nice dude, and he's so good at the game. He's just been on crap teams. Just enable him, please.
Yes. Which I got to meet Blase. Also, he was at the meet and greet thing that was up there. I got pictures. I should post all the pictures on the Blackwatch Report. A couple tier two guys that got the call. Pretty awesome. But not a whole lot of news this week.
At least not for us.
As far as tier two goes. That's going to come a little bit later once the free agency fully opens up and people can start signing outside of their current team. Yeah. So I believe that is the 11th. We're like 3 days out from roster getting like just
and
going full tilt.
Right now it's just Blevins and Deathblow having 1,000 things to chat about because every single player is now a free agent. Not every single, but like I don't know, like a third of the league is announced at this point as either free agent or up in limbo at the moment, which is incredible. But like we're one step farther along. So once those get all filled out and the players who made it, you know, who are able to keep a spot or find another team are going to do that. And those who don't, we're going to get some new Overwatch League caliber players in here.
Yep.
And then we're also going to hopefully see lots of good call-ups. So we're waiting. It's coming up pretty soon here.
Definitely. But that's going to wrap it up for that news. We're going to go right down into the main discussion after this quick break. Break away from your normal energy and go rogue. Head over to therogueenergy.com and use promo code BlackWatchReport at checkout for 10% off of your purchase. That takes us into the main discussion, where we're going to be talking about basically everything Gauntlet. We've got our English broadcast talent here, so the commentators are going to be Achilleos and Wolf, coming fresh off of the Overwatch League, heading back to the Giga Arena. I was reading tweets from both of them about how happy they are to be heading back to Korea. So they're going to be able to cast a couple of the matches alongside Jaws and Leg Day coming over from EU. And then Avril and Pixie coming up from Australia to take care of that cast. So a decent lineup of commentators here for the matches.
Yeah, it's no longer two casters casting the entire thing like Avril and Pixie did for the Pacific one. And I think ZP and Avast traded off with Jaws and Leg Day. I don't remember.
Yep.
So I'm excited because you get so much different. You get kind of NA, but also kind of career representation from Achilles and Wolf, who are very familiar with most of these Korean players. You get Jaws and Leg Day, who know EU pretty well. I mean, very well. They're the kind of the sole casters for that, as well as Avril and Pixie coming out of the Australian Pacific regions. So you're going to have a great amount of knowledge kind of spread out here. So I'm expecting, you know, some interesting things. This is like a really, really, like, probably one of the best casts they could find, I think.
Definitely.
And something else to break down here is this prize pool. I think we kind of knew some things about it, but we didn't know others. I think we knew it was a $250,000 total prize pool. But the minor details of the breakdown are as such: $100,000 for the champion, $45,000 for the runner-up, third place gets $25,000, fourth gets $20,000, fifth and sixth get $12,500, and seventh and eighth place get $7,500.
And that's on top of having their travel covered to go out to Korea, which is super cool. I mean, make a little bit of bank and get... Some of these guys have been out there for like 2 weeks. Like, the boot camps have been lasting pretty long out there. So, you know, time in Korea is pretty awesome. So, let's talk about our prediction brackets, because I'm going to have to make all kinds of, like, on-the-fly modifications. I'm going to stick with mine. But who I have going to the finals is not who I have going to the finals.
Oh.
Because I got baited.
Yeah, I think I got to stick with mine. Like, most of mine makes some pretty good sense here. Mm-hmm. I have the teams who I think are good making it nice and far along. I even think I might be underestimating talent slightly here. But just to kind of really quick, I just want to reiterate, because we did cover this in a previous episode, kind of when we rolled out our Gauntlet contest. And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Gauntlet contest, check our Twitter. It's the pinned tweet still, I believe.
Yep.
We have a contest. We're closing it, like, what, now, basically? So if you're listening in Twitch land,
at the end of the
do
stream.
It now.
Yep.
If you're listening in podcast land, you're a little late. Sorry, bud. Still do it just for the clout. You probably won't win. I mean, you can't win the Funko Pop, but you can just farm that clout. So do it anyways. Throw it in the Twitter or throw it in the Discord, whatever. I have my bracket posted publicly somewhere. But it's to reiterate, my lower bracket finals are as follows: Runaway versus Atlantic Academy is how I have it going. I have Runaway taking it, going up against Element Mystic, who beat Runaway once, and I think they're going to beat them again. The teams I have getting immediately eliminated, I believe, are HSL and LG Huya. And then I have Glad's Legion, Talon, Envy, Atlanta, XL2, Element Mystic, Runaway all going, and then Element Mystic taking it all in the end. So that's my bracket. I am strongly believing in Sparkle, and I guess we can probably chat about this interesting thing in the meantime. It is this players to watch, because he's number one on that list. So
yes,
something that was posted, which I think is awesome. First off, if you go to overwatchleague.com, just to the right of the name, you see Gauntlet. Boom, right there on the main tab next to league schedule standings, all that stuff. And they put out a interesting article. I forget. I don't see who wrote this. Emerald Gao. I don't know who that is. I'm not familiar with them, but this looks good so far. It's a kind of players to watch at Contenders Gauntlet. Number one is Sparkle. Dude is very, very hyped up. Turns 18 in February. Basically going to be able to start for your team after like week one or two. Or maybe right away. Or no, wait, that's Hanbin who turns 18 in February. When does he turn? I think we should know this. Late May.
Late May.
So he's a Nero Sinatra kind of pickup.
Yep.
So I definitely agree with this number one spot. He is absolutely a player to watch for me. I think dude is gonna just explode his contract. After a good performance here, he's going to really be able to, as long as he's working with our boy Barry, who's going to be able to negotiate that contract to get him a nice high price. Like, just like showing the game tape to prospective overwatching teams, like, listen, I'm really good. I deserve more than 100K. Mm-hmm. I need 150. I need 200, whatever. I think a possible standout performance here is going to just turn him into this great storyline coming into Overwatch League. Sparkle is not 15. He was 15 when he first started playing. He's turning 18 in like
late May.
6 months.
Yep.
7 months. I guess, do you want to just keep going down this list and kind of reading it off, giving our thoughts, agree, disagree?
Let me do my final thing on the gauntlet predictions. So in my original bracket, I had Runaway going up against Team Envy in the grand finals. After Envy takes out Element Mystic in the lower finals with Runaway taking it 4-2, I made the little like announcement because at the time that I did this, we thought Gator was not playing in the gauntlet, and I held out until the very last minute. I kept saying, no, there's a rule that they're going to skirt around and they're going to get Gator in there. And everybody's like, casters on the Overwatch League were saying, no, it's not going to happen. He's not playing. So that's when I finally said, okay, I can trust what they say. I'm going to make my bracket based on what the desk in the Overwatch League says. And they failed me. Because Gator is playing in the gauntlet, which means I would have had this going Runaway Atlanta with Atlanta beating Runaway in the grand finals. But I posted Envy Runaway and I got to stick with it. So Runaway 4-2 over Team Envy. Let's kind of go down this list here.
So number two is basically all of Runaway. I mean, we have been talking about this team for quite a while. Not only are they from probably the most popular org at this point, despite being one of the least financially successful. I guess maybe they're probably balling out now with the amount of money they made in buyouts, dude.
The Titans buyouts?
That's probably disgusting amounts of money that they made now. They had just literally free money to make this team with.
They never have to work again. Like,
yeah,
because of basically the buyout percentage that Flower Vin and Runner got. Like, once Runner gets back from his mandatory service, like, they're gonna forever have a esports team named Runaway, and it's gonna do phenomenal.
Yeah. Also regarding like the success of players, I mean, there are so many players on this team. I will always forget which one is eligible, which one is not of their two supports, but both of their supports are incredibly solid.
Gangnam Jin, I believe, is the eligible one. Watch, I'll be completely wrong.
Lee Jaegong is. Gangnam Jin is. Oh, they both are. Oh, yeah. Lee Jaegong just turned 18 in August. So,
yep.
Their support line is, I think the only player that's not is Assassin. So, Yaki is, Hisu, Mag, QOQ. All these players have had great results.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, they're not going to get picked up as a full team. No one is dumping the whole team, but I think there's a couple of these players that'll have a pretty good ask here. I think Mag is actually going to be slightly out. It doesn't say.
June 12th.
Barely eligible, according to this.
Yeah, he like just hits. He'll be able to play after the midseason.
Yeah, and like, I'm trying to think of like places he would go. Like, obviously, I feel like Gladiators will now need a new main tank just because I really didn't feel like Roar was doing a great job. But also, like, you can't throw in Mag because he's not going to be eligible to play until like what, stage three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate, but it is what it is. So you want to take number three here?
Number three is who's on Sigma. And how's your Doomfist? I mean, we saw Gator just absolutely revolutionize the way Sigma was played through the playoffs up until they hit the pink wall of the spark. And then we find out that he gets to play in Gauntlet. So keep an eye on Gator playing Sigma down in Contenders. It should be pretty interesting to see how this all works out. I can't wait to watch Atlanta just based off of things that we have heard. Because they weren't scrimming other Contenders teams. They were scrimming Overwatch League teams. And yep. From our understanding, they were beating Overwatch League teams.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting to watch what Atlanta does. Along with Sigma, we got the Doomfist. We already talked about Sparkle. We got Genji's Wee Kid. Who else is on this list? Actually, I believe that's they have.
Yeah, I think Wakid is a good luck. He's got Overwatch League experience. So does Gator at this point. I'm really curious as to where Gator is able to carry over the success from Atlanta, because they looked good. Atlanta looked really good.
Yes.
Until they went up against Spark, but that it is what it is. You can't like guarantee that there's going to be crossover and it's going to work out just fine. Also, does that mean that now Hawk is playing on the horse? I don't know. It would probably make sense.
And
because
he would have had time to
scrim it.
Scrim it. And I mean, for all we know, like Gator could be just as nasty on Orisa, and Hawk could have been playing Sigma this whole time. Also, it's going to be super weird to see how they work their tank line for Atlanta, considering what Gator was doing in the Overwatch League.
I'm also wondering Saucy versus Sugarfree on the DPS line, because I believe we saw Sugarfree on the... Who is he playing? I think he was on the Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saucy was on the Mei the entire time, so that way Sugarfree could play the Hanzo at times. But now we're doing a Doomfist Reaper. Do we see Saucy stay on or move to the Reaper now, allowing Sugarfree to play Doom, which is what I would think is the best play? But I'm pretty sure we also saw a pretty competent Doom from Saucy as well, so that'll be an interesting thing to see. Also, another thing to note for Atlanta, what's his name? Kodak.
Yes.
He was kind of forcing the Moira when it wasn't meta, and he made it work. Now that Moira is meta, I think he's going to have a significant leg up on a lot of the other competition there. I really wouldn't doubt if Atlanta made top four. I would not be surprised. I have them making top three, technically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I guess third, fourth with Runaway again. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I basically have them third place. So I think that they could very well impress a lot of NA doubters. But as well, maybe it's not entirely out of my imagination that they could absolutely just flounder and just go out in two because of some minor thing didn't work out. Whatever, we'll see. Next up is just talking about some academy talent here. A lot of names are mentioned that we have been talking up for the longest time, like Sharp, like Crimzo, like Water, Funny Astro, Kodak. Specifically Water, now that he can play a bit of Doomfist, because I think that Doomfist is one of the, I guess, struggled tell me here, because he's the resident water expert, resident hydrologist, I guess is the word for that. But like specifically Sharp and Crimzo, Sharp is going to be kind of stuck on Reaper duty, which is not his forte. If he can force a Widow, that'll be a huge boon, but I don't think he really can. Crimzo as well, his strength is on the Ana and the Zen. I think he's a phenomenal player, but he won't have as much of a visible impact, I don't think. I think the team will still do pretty well. I just don't think he's going to be able to like pop off and make a huge name for himself just because he's kind of relegated to a harder to be impressive on hero. Let's see. There's some talk about Kami and Molly from the LG Huya. I don't know enough about them at all to say anything on the matter.
Yeah, that's the problem about not knowing a whole lot about everybody over in the Korean scene. Because, I mean, you got Glister.
I think, yeah, Glister's an interesting player. I don't remember watching too much of him, but I think he's a good shout. I think he's pretty... I would be pretty surprised if he didn't make it in. Like, Glister, Sparkle, all of Runaway, or most of Runaway, a couple players off of Element Mystic. I can see all of them getting called up. I guess you want to take five?
Yeah, then we've got past, present, and the future. So we've got people coming into the Gauntlet this weekend. Like we already talked about, WeKid. He has Overwatch League experience. We're going to see WooYaw coming in and playing for Gen G also. Let's see, former LA Valiant tank Numlocked is going to be playing. Just got picked up by Team Envy after Envy's whole tank line got picked up by the Washington Justice, who he has also had his fair share of Overwatch League talent or time. And then Gator and Kodak. Kodak was in the league, offered to move down to the academy team. Gator on that two-way getting to play through the playoffs. Not only playing in the regular season, but getting some high-pressure, high-stakes matches in through the playoffs and performing extremely well. So I think that experience is going to help him this weekend. People should be keeping an eye on him, like we've been saying. And some of the future here, we got Patafan coming in. What is he, 15 from Team Thailand? Yep. He is playing
great with, performance at World Cup.
Who is he playing with?
Talon.
And then over on XL2 Academy, Speedily, only 15 years old, and 16-year-old support OG. So we've got some young ones that aren't quite eligible. Let's see. Oh, there's the name I'm looking for. If we're talking the future of the Overwatch League, you know we're talking about Sugar Free. I believe he's 15 right now. We're trying to get him on the show, so tweet at him. Say hi.
14 right now, apparently.
Is he 14 right now?
That's a high school freshman.
Yeah. And then you got the support from Gen G, Bliss, who is also only 14 years old. And these are kids that are this young, and they're getting to travel and get LAN experience.
Yeah.
And they're playing at the highest possible level that they can because they're just not old enough to play at the level that they should be playing at.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing holding them back.
Ceiling right now. Yeah. They're just smashing into this glass ceiling. Not much you can do.
Just waiting to get through it.
Yep, just wait. I mean, 4 years to wait, dude. I guess technically three for most of these for Sugar Free and stuff. But like, that's such a like... I mean, who were you? Where is he now? He was at this point, right? When he was like 14, maybe 14, 15, he was at that moment and he was legendary. And now he's like...
On Skyfoxes. Oh, which, like, because he's not going to the Gauntlet, he wasn't mentioned. But also Alarm. Yeah, he's not going to the Gauntlet. But...
Yep.
I do have confirmation. I can confirm that it's about a 99% lock that we will see Alarm in the Overwatch League.
Where'd you hear this from?
I happened to run into his agent at the Overwatch League Grand Finals, who looked at me and told me that he is the agent for Alarm and is currently working on some... pretty good deals, and it's basically confirmed and locked that Alarm is going to be getting in.
I mean, at this point, we all basically knew it, honestly. Like, the question is not, you know, if, it's where. Mm-hmm. I think it's, does Philly pick him up and have to match whoever else bids for him, or does someone just bring out the roll of, you know, the roll of hundreds, like your one rich uncle is like, hey kid, buy yourself something nice. I mean, we saw that from NRG, dude. They have money. Mm-hmm. We can see that from Vancouver. We can see that from... who else has lots of money? Probably maybe Houston or Dallas now.
I mean, Dallas, wanting to see how exactly Houston is going
Gladiators,
to play
maybe.
With the new management? Like...
yeah. That's
sounds
I don't
like
know
this dude is like no. willing to drop cash. Like it, yeah. That's what it sounds like. But I mean, if he is, he could make a play. Like it, there's just so many spots where he could land. Like my heart says that he'll stay with Philly, but I got a feeling that if Philly wants to keep him, they're going to pay an exorbitant amount of money for him.
I mean, because at a certain point, like, if he does leave after being on their academy team for, like, 2 years, it's kind of a butthead move. But at the same point, like, that's the game you play. Like, it's, you know, you have the right of first refusal, but that's about it. Like, that's, you know, you get what you get here.
Yep.
Let's real quick, just because I want to try to hit an end at about 4 o'clock, because I do have something to go do.
Yep.
I don't want to be super late too, but you did a little bit of legwork here. You did at first you did way more legwork than you had to do. And
way
then,
more.
Then you were enlightened as to the glory of over.gg. And now.
So do we just want to do the their strongest and their weakest?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to take this first one?
So Runaway, with 86% Assault is their strongest map type. Escort is their least strong at 33%. Take these as you will. They were Dorado, Rialta, Havana. I don't know what the map pool is, but if they are Junkertown, Watchpoint, Route 66, those throw those results out the window. As well, we have no data for them on Horizon or Hanamura.
So then Element Mystics coming in with an 83% win on Escort and a 38% win on Hybrid. They only dropped one Escort, and that was on Rialto. Their maps were Dorado, Havana, Rialto. They're going to be the same for the next one also. Well, for the next team, because they're all from Korea. But down on Hybrid, we saw Hollywood, Kings Row, and Numbani. They did not win Numbani. They only played it once. They lost four times on Kings Row. So if a team is looking to potentially, I don't know if this is loser picks. I don't know if they have, if they announced that. Did they announce if it's loser picks or if it's locked?
I have no idea. I would not be surprised if it was.
It almost sounds like the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if it's loser picks and you want to get a leg up on Element Mystic, Hybrid Kings Row is your best shot. Yep. Now Hollywood, they went a perfect 2-0. So
don't pick Hollywood.
Don't take Hollywood.
Next up is Gen G. Not as high highs, but not as low lows, actually. So their
very
highest
consistent
is Control.
Here.
Yeah, they're pretty right middle of the pack here. 71% on Control. All they played was Nepal and Busan. Bottom map type was Escort at 40%. They lost Havana once. They did okay on Rialto, and they did fine on Dorado. They went 1-2. There's not a whole lot of data to pull from here, which is interesting. I think that was just for playoffs. They didn't play as much in playoffs, I think.
It only gives me... I have to do 1 month, 3 month, or 6 month.
Mm.
And I would have dipped into season one if I'd have went 6 months. And I should suggest that they let you select a date range. On over.gg, because it would be really helpful. So we're going to move over to China. Yes, China here,
yes.
The China region. I had to remember if this was Pacific or not. LG Huya, Control is their strongest at 70%, with Assault coming in at an even 50%. Let's talk about their Assault here real quick. Paris, perfect, 2-0. Volskaya. They split it 1-1. Temple of Anubis 0-2. So that even split, they've got the 3-3 basically down there on assault. While up on control, they only lost they lost three maps. They lost one of each: Ilios, Nepal, and Busan. So pretty consistent on the control maps there.
Now here's where it gets interesting. Atlanta Academy, 100%, 100%, 86, 86. So they have lost two maps in, what, a three-month period, is this?
Yep, in a three-month period.
On a 10-week win streak, Control and Escort are flawless. Hybrid, they lost the one map, King's Row, and Assault, same thing on Temple of Anubis. Unlucky, but really good results.
Phenomenal results. Now we've got somebody that was kind of close. They almost got that same mark, but they kind of faltered there in the end.
I think most of their losses, though, were in the tiebreaker, though, right? Versus Atlanta?
Yes. Like, they lost They lost once in regular season against the Gladiators Legion. They lost one map. Or no, they lost one series.
Did they? I don't remember. I don't think so.
Did they have the perfect? I thought they lost one series.
They weren't maybe flawless. It was one map. Maybe they did.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Let's find out. Yeah, no, they were 7-0. They lost one map.
One map. And that was to the Gladiators Legion.
Yes.
And then the rest came when they played Atlanta in the playoffs.
Atlanta.
Yep. So their top is Hybrid at 86% with Control doing another even 50% split. We see them losing Ilios once, Nepal once, Busan twice, but they did win each of them at least once on Control. Up on that Hybrid, that 86%, that's a pretty solid percent up there. They got one win on Hollywood, two wins on King's Row, flawless on both of those. Numbani, they went 3-1. That's a pretty good map record right there for that Numbani. Envy's looking like some... They got some good map stats going in. As long as they're playing on these maps, we don't know the map schedule yet.
Yep. Next up is XL2. Now, if you're talking about a very narrow spread here, high of 67, low of 57. So they are just barely squeaking above that middle line. Best is Assault with a 1-0 on Temple of Anubis, 3-1 on Volskaya, 0-1 on Paris. Absolute worst is Hybrid. They are 2-1 on King's Row, 2-1 Numbani, 0-1 on Hollywood. That's just a possibly an issue with a low sample size, which is why that is the way it is. But
and now,
yeah,
I get to talk about this one right as I look at chat, and I see the team manager for the Gladiators Legion pop in, and I get to talk about their map win differential.
Handmade as well.
Handmade. Oh man, I'm about to get shredded here.
Oh no.
The Legion coming in have the worst map win percentage out of all of the regions going into the gauntlet. Now, this is also when they were playing GOATs. We saw a turnaround in the playoffs and they looked phenomenal coming in, so this could change a little bit.
You gotta just keep throwing on qualifiers
until they're not yelling at me. So their best was Escort at 43% win rate. Their worst was Assault, and it was a tough one. It was a 19% win rate. Let's talk about that Assault for a second. Yes, it's a very good thing. Volskaya Industries, they went 1-2-1. With Temple of Anubis going 0-2, along with Paris 0-2. Escort, that 43%, we see them going 1-0 on Dorado, 1-2 on Rialto, 1-2 on Havana. Like I said, they turned it around. This is the team that came into playoffs 8th, and they're now going to Korea. Actually, they're in Korea right now. Hi, guys. But
is it 4 a.m. there right now?
So these can be kind of looked at, all of these can be looked at with the metas shifted, LAN is completely different, but
yep.
Coming in, these stats aren't looking that good, guys. I'm sorry. I got to go with what I got to go with.
Yeah, with what limited data. We don't have Scrimbucks here, guys. I mean, we kind of have Scrimbucks. We have Scrimbucks on this next team. It's Talon, who, of course, like, the if you did take into consideration context, right? If we just threw context out the window, which is apparently not unheard of in this industry, you would be like, how would anyone suspect that Gladiator's Legion would ever possibly beat the Overlords, Talon, who have a 100% win rate in hybrid, control, and escort, and have lost one map on assault, which is Paris once. So, that's... Yeah. And Rusto says they're pretty good.
Yep.
So, take that for... This is my absolute wild card, which I think, after you talk about HSL, real quick, we need to get into these bold predictions, because these are going to be
where
it comes together.
I did have a little note here on Talon. They had the best overall map win percentage out of all of the teams coming into the gauntlet, but possibly on the lowest rank region.
Yeah.
So you got to take that with kind of like a grain of salt there also.
Just because you're dunking on kids in JV doesn't mean if you make the varsity team, you're going to be able to dunk on kids there, I guess.
So we're going to have to wait and see. And like Kyle said, we got a little note in the Discord from Rusto saying that Talon, they're pretty good. So should be interesting to watch them against Element Mystic tonight, literally in like 3 hours. So,
and then wrapping it up real quick, HSL, best is Assault, worst is Hybrid. chat is just exploding. Assault is good for HSL. They're pretty gunnable sky. And Paris, of course, this is within GOAT. So take this in. I think some of them are in GOAT. Some of them are in the May Reaper meta, which is kind of close. Some of them in Clockwork, whatever. Let's get into the fun times here. Bold predictions.
Here we go.
Obviously, I didn't technically predict this in my bracket, but I'm going to just say this, and then if I'm right, I'm going to just reap in the clout here. Number one, Atlanta make it to finals. That's just, I'm throwing that out there. It's just a thing. It could be not possible, but I think there's a pretty decent chance. Just, I mean, and of course, I have not been screaming these teams. I don't know. I don't watch the VODs.
As soon as they give us better stats, like give me Overwatch League stats, but for contenders, because I would live in the stats. Now, I will say, I was talking all kinds of smack about the map win differential for the Gladiators Legion up top. When I get a little bit further down in my bold predictions, I redeem myself. Don't you guys worry. But I gotta kind of jump on the back of Kyle here. I'm gonna add to that bold prediction of Atlanta making finals, and I'm gonna say Atlanta makes the finals with a 75% map win percentage going into the finals.
It's a lot.
They're gonna win a lot. They're not gonna drop much. That's what I'm saying. You heard it here.
Next, number three here for me. I guess number two for me, but number three for us total. HSL go out without winning a map. I think HSL is probably... I mean, EU has been just stripped apart, man. NA has really done a number on EU. I think HSL, as good as all of their players... Like, they basically have the best remaining EU players, I think. But I think just maybe due to unlucky brackets and stuff, I think they could go out without winning a map, and I would not be surprised.
I agree with that. But here's my redemption arc. This is the anime portion of the podcast.
Yeah. The comeback.
And this was on the show notes before I had the coach and the team manager for the Gladiators Legion come in talking trash about them. My bold prediction for the Gladiators Legion is Gladiators Legions go deeper than XL2 and Envy. Like that one actually, it hurt a little bit, but I think that we're going to see Gladiators Legion coming in and just absolutely running shot through all the teams that they need to. And I hope I get this one right, so I don't get yelled at too much.
And okay, this next one I'm not feeling 100% on. But I'm thinking that it would not be entirely unsurprising if we had a team missing an important player, like a starting player, due to either, I mean, like, I would assume most of the teams are there right now, but I think that isn't to, you know, in my Joe Rogan voice, it's entirely possible that there is a team that's going to have to bring in a sub for
somebody's
their starting
roster. Get sick or
sick, flight issues or visa issues, or they just signed an Overwatch League contract or something ridiculous. I mean, they can't technically do that, but I don't know. Maybe they're getting flown out to NA to be groomed for a contract, I guess. It's all possible.
I'll take you up on that, mate. And then my final bold prediction here is one of the Korean teams gets knocked out before Talon does. I think Talon will go deeper than... I don't want to drop a name because it could be... It really could be... any one of the three, because I mean, we've seen Runaway play pretty bad in the regular season. Do they come in and they play like that? We've seen Element Mystic like playing mid tier. I mean, I don't have it pulled up, but there was teams in Korea beating Element Mystic that we didn't think were going to beat them. Same with Runaway. Gen G looked phenomenal and then just absolutely disappeared there towards the end. So I could see one of them getting knocked out before Talon does.
And then I'm going to kind of switch this around a little bit. I think Talon are going to be the grave diggers here. I think they're going to be the team that knocks out. That is the final blow for the most teams here, I think. I think because they're going to be probably going through, I think they're going to make like a bit of a lower bracket run here. Probably not make it to lower bracket finals, but I think they're going to knock out at least two, maybe three teams here.
Should be interesting to see. Like, I can't wait. We're literally 3 hours away, people. Get ready. Get your popcorn. Watch Tier 2. Support Tier 2. Definitely check out the Overwatch or the Contenders OW community video. We actually did a little promo video form and it's in there, and just get out there and support Tier 2, man. Like, these guys are the future. Like, that's why we do what we do, and we really appreciate anybody that takes the time to watch Contenders, watch the Denver LAN, Rivalcade. Like, watch all of them. Like, it's good Overwatch, and you're about to have no Overwatch here shortly, so.
Yep.
But that's it. After this weekend, we will have the winner of the gauntlet. We will have Maid and Rusto yelling at me on Twitter because of the crap I talked. We will have the winner of our bracket and a sweet custom Funko Pop going out after this weekend.
And we're going to get an interview with the winning MVP. Even if it's Korean, I will learn Korean in a week and we'll interview them on the show. Guaranteed. You heard it here first.
I am all for that. I don't have time to learn Korean.
We should get Barry on. He can translate.
Oh my God. That actually might work.
Be sick.
I dig that. I might actually have to hit Barry up for that. which actually I will announce, speaking with Barry over the weekend at the Overwatch League Grand Finals, I can announce he will be coming back on because he wants to talk free agency with us. So we will
so close on all of that.
We will get that. I wanted to wait until after the gauntlet so we can kind of talk about the talent coming out of the gauntlet, since mm-hmm. teams are going to be there looking at the talent that are there. But yeah, definitely look forward to an interview with Barry Lee, Mr. Idolwise from Evolve Talent, coming on to talk about free agency.
And real quick, I think looking forward as a bit of a preview, I think we're going to try to get our combo episode with H&P here. Yes. But I think before that, I'd like to, depending on if we have enough weeks, I want to get Gauntlet reviewed. And then I want to do our new Blackwatch Most Wanted kind of players to pick up and look out for.
Definitely.
You know, scouting report kind of stuff. I think it's going to be cool. We got lots of good stuff coming. The games may end, but we have lots of things we can now do. This is where the fun thing comes in here.
We'll actually have time to work on projects because we won't have a ton of matches to watch. You know, other than the practice season of Open Division.
Yep.
But that's going to wrap us up. Kyle, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitch and Twitter and also on Instagram.
Look at this
guy. I have been participating in Inktober and drawing a picture and then doing a song alongside of it. So I've been doing a song. I'm going to be on my 8th song in a row. You know, 8 songs, one a day. Check out my Instagram for some interesting musics. Twitter for Twitter stuff. And then Twitch. I stream when I have randomly tons of free time, but I haven't had a lot lately. So, yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at ThornRain. I do all my streaming right here on the Blackwatch Reports. I'm currently can't do it because literally I'm... The grand finals weekend was essentially work because of just constantly doing stuff. And then that means I haven't had a day off since the beginning of September? Middle of September. And I'm going the whole month of October. So probably not a whole lot of streaming coming out of me. But if you're an audio listener, swing by Twitch, make a free account. Smash that follow button. We'll give you a shout out on the show. And if you happen to be an Amazon Prime subscriber, that means you get a Twitch Prime. You can hit the subscribe button because we are affiliates. We do appreciate that. All of that stuff goes towards contests and stuff like that. That's actually what's paying for our gauntlet contest. But if you want to help out completely free and make Kyle do way more than what he already does because he does so much for the show, hit up an iTunes review. 1 star, 5 star. We will read all of them. We do appreciate them. We love checking them out, too. And if you happen to not use iTunes, leave a review wherever you happen to listen to the show. And send us a screenshot. We'll read it on the show. That's how we did Sugar Dads. But.
Yep.
It's going to wrap us up. You can find the show on Twitter at Blackwatch Report. There's no O in that report. And you can email the show, blackwatchreport@gmail.com. And follow the show on Twitch right here at twitch.tv/blackwatchreport. We record live Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern. Our intro music is an original piece by our own Mr. Kyle Wynn. This has been a High Noon production. You can hear all of our shows over at highnoonpodcast.com and come and chat with the hosts of all of our shows on the Discord at discord.me/highnoonpodcast. And with that, Blackwatch out.